Support for KBUT comes from Towny Books and Rumors Coffee and Tea House, serving Allegro organic coffee and fine loose leaf teas. Towny Books stocks new books and can special order anything. Drink coffee, read books, fight evil. Welcome to the West Elk Word. I'm Tony Todd, here today with Russ Forrest and John Cattles. Russ is the city manager for the city of Gunnison, and John is the sustainable operations director for Gunnison County. They're here to talk about the upcoming Climate Action Conference. Russ and John, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Let's start with the conference. Tell us about the upcoming Climate Action Conference. Russ, we'll start with you.
Sure. Well, the conference, the idea for the conference came from the One Valley Leadership Council, which supported the One Valley Prosperity Project. And really, one of the things we've been looking at are what are areas within the Valley where we need collaboration and cooperation to really have an impact. And we concluded that the area of environmental sustainability should be a new pillar, a new mission for the One Valley Leadership Council. So we began taking a look at what were some of the most important issues from an environmental sustainability standpoint, and there are a lot of really important ones. But we all realized that we were all individually looking at the issue of climate change and carbon emissions from the city of Gunnison to the county to Crested Butte, who's just finished a climate action plan, and now Mount CB is working on the same. And we realized that we could have a far greater impact by working together versus separately on this issue. So the idea of the conference came from this discussion.
And what's the county's role in this, John?
Well, we're the same as everyone else. We're trying to collaborate and work together. The county for a while now has had a goal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the county, and we're the ones that are really collecting the data and measuring our progress on that, which is a good role for the county being the collector or the clearinghouse, I guess, for trying to see what we're doing holistically in the county.
What kind of data do you collect?
We collect data on all of our energy use and attribute greenhouse gas emissions to every single source we can possibly quantify. And so we've had help through Western, through Dr. Abel Chavez. He did our first inventory. And since then, it's something that I've been taking and adding data to, trying to tease out trends out of the data that we have. And so it's a really large database that gives us an idea of how to where our emissions are coming from, and hopefully will give us an idea of how we can best affect our emissions to reduce them.
Where are they coming from?
Buildings attribute 61% of our greenhouse gas emissions in the valley. So buildings is a big one, and that's both residential and commercial buildings.
I think that's really interesting because I think most people would automatically assume it's cars.
Cars are big as well. It's like 27%. So between buildings and cars, that's most of our emissions in the valley. But buildings are a really big piece here. Primarily the emissions from buildings is coming from the electric sector. So our electric emissions factors in Colorado are higher than average. And we have two different electric utilities. We have the city of Gunnison and GCEA, and they have different emissions factors. And we've teased out those emissions factors based on third-party research that we've been able to receive. So there's several organizations that benchmark electric utilities, and we've collected that data. The city of Gunnison is actually a fairly clean utility, but it's still dirtier than we want it to be. And so it helps us understand where our emissions are coming from. And in buildings, we use a lot of electricity, so that's a big one.
Okay. Well, tell us a little more about the conference and maybe why the conference and why now?
So two goals for the conference is that we have some fabulous speakers, and we can describe, you know, who's going to be coming. But the two goals include, first, creating a common goal for common carbon reduction within the Valley as a whole, and then to develop some strategies for how to achieve those goals. And we hope to do that during this one-day event on January 17th.
So this conference isn't just – there will be guest speakers and there will be some opportunity to listen to professionals in the field, but you hope to get some action plans out of this as well.
Yeah, so we're gonna hear from others who have been doing this for longer or maybe a little farther down the road than we are. But then after we hear from them, we're going to go into our own data and we're going to look at various scenarios that could reduce our emissions. And we want to try to test those scenarios against practicality. So we will look at things like, what would it take to drastically increase the efficiency of our building stock? And we can see what that, if we were able to achieve a certain increase in our building stock, what that would look like in emissions reduction. And then we can go backwards and say, is this practical? Are there ways we can actually reduce our energy use that much or increase the efficiency of buildings that much? So we'll be going sector by sector, looking at our data and having a conversation. And so this should be an interactive conference where we're looking for the audience to engage with us and give us feedback. And we will, hopefully, this will be a challenge, but we will we'll manipulate the data and the outcomes while we're having those discussions, and so that we can really see what's happening.
When we talk about building stock, do you mean just the buildings that are owned by municipalities in the county, or all buildings?
All buildings.
So everyone's house, basically, every garage.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have access to actually quite a lot of data if you start looking. And so the assessor has information on every building in the county, so that for our tax basis. And so I was able to get into that database and find out what our square footage of total building space is in the county and separate that by commercial use and residential use, and then attribute energy to that and then attribute greenhouse gases to that. And what we found is that our buildings are less efficient than buildings in similar climate zones as ours. And so there's opportunity there to make our buildings more efficient. There's obviously challenges to that and cost to that. So that's one of the conversations that we want to have is, what's a reasonable amount of change? What's a reasonable amount of expectation for increasing efficiency versus the outcome that we get for that that effort?
So free solar panels on every building in the county is probably not likely.
Probably not likely.
Right.
But it would be cool.
But we're looking at, where can we make some significant gains, particularly, you know, with our power utilities. The city of Gunnison has been looking at, we're at 59% non-carbon emitting sources, but how do we get to 100%? And if we could do that, that would make a significant dent in things. So regionally, what can we do? But also as individuals, you know, what can we do to move the needle?
Tell us about a few of the speakers. Can you give us some short bios on a couple of the speakers coming to the conference?
Well, first, we have two parts of the conference. First, we have on Monday, January 13th at 6 o'clock at the Crested Butte Center for the Arts, we have a little tee up, and we have two speakers to create some energy and some excitement around the event that will then occur on Friday. First, at 6:15, we have Jesperson from Protect Our Winners, and he's one of the athletes with Protect Our Winners. He's a Navy SEAL. He's climbed all the Colorado 14ers, and he has a strong message about preserving winters and our economy in the state of Colorado. And then following, we have Dr. Heidi Stelzer, who is a PhD from Fort Lewis College, and she'll be talking more about the biology and the specific impacts we're seeing with climate change in Colorado in high alpine environments. So that's Monday. And then, as we've mentioned, Friday, January 17th at 8:30, we'll begin rolling up our sleeves. And first, we have, again, a couple of speakers to get us thinking about the problem the challenges and also some of the opportunities for change. And again, as John mentioned, we're going to hear some specific examples from some other communities that are a little bit further along in this discussion that have moved the needle. So again, we have an incredible speaker at the beginning of the day, Dr. Brenda Eckwurzel, with the Union of Concerned Scientists, and she was an author in the National Climate Assessment. So again, be sharing with us, you know, we would expect some very specific issues, concerns, and also that we're really seeing now a time issue with climate change, that we have a period of time between now and 2030. And there's a good reason why you keep hearing 2030, that because after that point, we begin to lose opportunities to really affect change.
They're calling that a bit of a tipping point, right? That if you can't make some positive change to move the amount of carbon in the atmosphere back a little bit by then it will be just that much harder to ever do that, right?
That's right. You can think of carbon almost like you're pouring water into a container. And so the more water we pour into the container, the fuller it gets. And we're letting water out all the time at the bottom. It's a carbon cycle. But we're putting it in faster than it comes out. And at some point, we overfill the container. And that's not a perfect analogy, but it's a way to think about the timeliness of making change. You can't put it off forever, or you start to trigger some scenarios that get out of control. So 2030 is a big one. Yeah, Dr. Eckwurzel is going to focus on high-altitude climates and what we should expect to see here. And so all of our speakers, we're trying to focus on what we're going to experience and keep this local and regional. I think that'll be a really interesting and maybe scary discussion to understand what we may experience in the next 30, 40 years.
I think it's interesting that you seem to be able to observe the impacts of climate change more acutely in environments like ours. I have some friends who live in Alaska, and they're certainly experiencing that up there as well. In other places, not so much, because they're places that typically don't have extremes of temperature and weather. But those of us who have always had extremes of temperature and weather have always maybe been a little more acutely aware of those extremes. And when we see the changes, we see them more clearly, I think. That's just my observation. I think most people in this valley would say, yeah, it's cold. Minus 21 the other day, or 28 in some places, was cold. But that used to be the way it was for a good chunk of the winter. Now we just have a couple days here and there. So,
and I think we live in a place where, you know, it's one of our values. We're very interconnected, interdependent on our natural environment. You know, it drives our economy, and particularly in both the winter and the summer, whether it's water in the summer and playing in it, or in the snow in the winter. So I think we're very close to our natural environment, and I think we do see it. But I think now it's being seen across the world, whether it's more natural disasters, it's flooding, it's hurricanes. So I think, you know, this really now is becoming a mankind issue. But I think you're right, Tony. I think because we're close to the land, I think we have an acute sensitivity to this.
If you're just joining us here today on the West Elk Word, I'm Tony Todd, here today with Gunnison City Manager Russ Forrest and Gunnison County Sustainable Operations Director John Cattles, and we're here discussing the upcoming Climate Action Conference. How is this conference and the discussion and the plans you hope to come out of the conference related to all the other issues we're grappling with today in our county, and I think most notably housing? And you mentioned buildings being the largest emitters, but how else is this related to housing and some of the other elements, you know, poverty, jobs, all of those things?
Yeah, so it's a big challenge, and it's a big opportunity as well. So buildings are a huge emitter. I would also actually like to acknowledge that we're seeing in the forecasting we've done, we're seeing that buildings are starting to reduce their emissions because of things like our energy codes that all the municipalities in the county have adopted. By 2030, 17% of the homes in the valley will be built since our energy codes were instituted. So we will see a change. But this is related to affordable housing. It's related to how we use our land use processes. If we continue to sprawl, we'll continue to see more traffic on our roads. If we can find ways to build more densely in the city centers and the urban centers, we will probably see less traffic, which is less emissions. And so there's an interrelation with all these things. I think poverty is a big piece of that as well. How do we build efficient homes that will cost less for people to live in, will be healthy for them to live in, and will be in a place where they can access services they need without having to use a car as much?
For the city of Gunnison, we're in the middle of, we're getting close to completing a comprehensive plan for the city, and some of the issues John just described are issues that are directly incorporated into the plan of trying to have housing close to where jobs are. First, infilling where we already have development, and it's efficient in terms of developing infrastructure. Poverty is an issue. About 15 to 16% of our population is in poverty. So we also have to be very mindful of the strategies we develop and the impact with that part of the population that is sensitive to price. So the outputs from this, we hope to integrate into our final version of our comp plan to drive action both, you know, within the valley, but also within the city of Gunnison.
Is transportation a big part of that as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the closest link for transportation in things we have control over locally is our land use. Making transportation more efficient, electrification, all those things, we can do things to help. We can make sure that there's access to charging stations. And we actually, for a rural small community, we have quite a lot of charging stations. GCA has been very aggressive in that and doing a great job. But the thing that we can change the most is how many cars are on the road, how close people are to where they work, where their services are compared to where they live. And we have an opportunity in a small town to really affect that in more direct ways that are going to affect people than a lot of larger cities that are already developed or are already sprawling out so large. We have an opportunity here to make sure that as we continue to grow, that we continue to stay dense or even more dense around our urban centers.
Does that as well include what feels like the ages-old goal of diversifying our economy to some extent? So we aren't so 100% reliant on tourism, so fewer people who, say, live in Gunnison feel compelled to have to work at the north end of the valley in the tourist industry to make a living?
First, I think tourism will always be an important part of our economy,
sure.
So I don't see that going away.
I don't see it as a bad thing. Only one thing is bad.
But you're absolutely right. You know, I think a goal valley-wide, whether it was through the One Valley Prosperity Project or, you know, within the city's comp plan that we're working on is to diversify our economy. And one of the things we're seeing is more and more people wanting to live in a place that has our beautiful natural resources, but where they can live close to where they work or maybe even work out of their own house. So strategies like providing high-quality broadband so that they can do that, so they don't need to get in a car at all to get to the job. Doing things that support local entrepreneurs so that we can diversify our economy, bring income from different sources from around the country to a beautiful place like this where people kind of share our values for the outdoors and outdoor recreation. But at the end of the day, too, there's a carbon component of it so that people are not having to commute. And that's something that people are wanting to aspire to in terms of living in a place and working in the same place and not doing that 1 hour commute into the job.
Who do you think should attend this conference?
I think any – well, first, we're inviting all our leaders within the Valley to come participate in this. We're inviting individuals that are stakeholders in this that maybe touch transportation, planners, building inspectors, people in the building trades to come participate. But I think anyone that has a passion around this issue should come. And, you know, we invite people to register for this event at gunnisonco.gov /climate action. And there's a nominal charge of $10 for the event. And we do ask individuals to commit a day to this, to both learn in the morning and then to roll up their sleeves with the rest of the community and develop solutions and strategies. We also want to invite students to participate. And if you're K through 12 or a Western student, it's a $5 nominal charge to participate. But we'd really love to kind of hear the voice of youth in this discussion.
Sure. What else do you think folks in the community should know about the conference and or also about the county and city's municipalities direction, where you're all headed with regard to this?
I think folks should know that we are working on this, that we're aware that this is a issue, that it is top of mind in the actions that are taken and the direction of our organizations. And I think they should also understand that this is really complex. Mm-hmm. And that trying to oversimplify to things like, oh, we should all just, you know, live in net zero homes is really way too simple to expand out to the whole community. We're trying to understand this problem in all its complexity and address it in ways that is fair and equitable to all of our citizens and still makes real change. And I think there's a way that we can accomplish that. We can have real change. We can be leaders in our region and in our nation, but we need to do that carefully. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's why we're really focused on the data. We're really focused on learning from other communities and scientists that have studied this. And this is a good effort for us to kick off a renewed activity around this with all of the municipalities in the county collaborating toward this action.
You know, so again, I think one of the things we're realizing is this is an huge, challenging issue, but I think there are some blueprints for moving forward where we can actually begin to tackle this and still have prosperity. A number of us were at a conference in Park City where we heard from Paul Hawkins, and who provided a real strong strategy in terms of how do you approach this, still have prosperity, and how do we make significant strides? And I think the one message he left us is this is not a political issue. This is really a human issue. The other message that, you know, I think we've seen is that leadership may not come at a national level. So at a local level, we have the ability to have direct impact on our transportation systems, on our electrical grid, on housing. And so by cumulatively us all at a local level beginning to take strong action, which you're seeing across the nation, across the world, you know, we can tackle this issue. We can be successful. But it's going to take a cumulative effort. The other thing we've chatted about is we're a small resort-based valley, but that's also an opportunity to touch our guests that come here in both the summer and winter and hopefully have them learn that if a small valley like ours can take meaningful action, they can take those lessons back to from wherever they are and apply those in their communities.
That is kind of the encouraging aspect of this, that we are not alone as a community trying to affect positive change. It's happening in small communities and larger communities all over the country and all over the world, like you said, Russ. And so that cumulative action is taking the place of inaction on the part of nations, on the part of our nation in particular. and may ultimately have some effect. I think we were joking a little bit before we went on mic, the fact that if every state in the union legalizes marijuana, well, then it will be legal in the U.S., right? And slowly but surely, that seems to be happening. So the same kind of momentum could happen here with something like this. And this is quite a bit more important, I would argue.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more important. Yeah, I think a leadership role is a really big piece of this. And something that is unique for us, we are in such a unique climate. We're so cold, and we're known for that in the state. And one thing that has been relayed to me from others in the state is that if we're able to achieve some of the things we've achieved with efficiency in buildings, then there's really no excuse for anyone else, right? And so the county's been successful at that. There's some local builders that have been phenomenally successful with building homes in a very extreme environment that use exceptionally low energy. And so the more we can talk about that and the more we can lead in that, it really puts other communities in a situation where there's not a lot of excuse for them to not do something themselves.
It's good to one-up other communities, isn't it?
Well, and, you know, I think there is now a level of urgency. When I dealt with environmental policy and planning when I was a civilian working for the Army about 20 years ago, we used words like may and should and could happen in the future. And I think that language now, first you're hearing, you know, about a scientific consensus, and that doesn't often happen around any issue. And so I think there's a clear sense of urgency, but there's also opportunity that by cumulatively addressing this issue, we can make an impact and be successful and still have prosperity at the end of the day.
So the Climate Action Conference, one more time, Monday evening, 6:30 p.m. at the Crested Butte Center for the Arts. And on Friday, January 17th,
we'll start at 8:30 and we'll be at the Western Colorado University Ballroom. And again, you can register at gunnisonco.gov/climateaction.
Perfect. Russ Forrest, John Cattles, thank you so much for joining me today on the West Elk Word.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's edition of the West Elk Word. You can listen to this or any edition of the program anytime. Go to kbut.org, click Programs, then West Elk Word. Stay tuned for more great programming right here. We're KBUT, community radio for the Gunnison Valley.